Appreciate the opportunity I have to stand before you this morning to bring you God's word. And I hope that what I have to say from God's word that maybe will brighten your day and make you a little happier person than what you was maybe when you came into the building this morning. Now, there's a story that often's been told about a little girl. She was reprimanded by her grandfather for whistling as she ran through the house one Sunday morning. Grandpa didn't like that. Grandpa didn't like a little girl running through the house whistling on Sunday morning. He told her it wasn't nice for little girls, nor for Christians to whistle on Sunday morning. Feeling rather sad and dejected, although almost as though she had been spanked, she left the house and walked down the lane to the pasture and climbed up on the gate. And as she sat there thinking, an old mule came up to her and put his head up to her. She patted him and said, "You're a nice mule." Then she rubbed his ears and says, "Man, you sure do have long ears." And then she stroked his nose and said, "And you sure do have a long face. You must be a good Christian, like Grandpa." Are we like Grandpa? Do we have our long faces? I mean, are we really happy to be a Christian? You know, as I look around and as I've been a Christian for some years and congregations I've been in, it seems like to me there's people who are not happy about being a Christian. What is it not to be happy about being a Christian? Are we so much drawn up in the cares and of this world and we just can't be happy? No, it is sad to see so many unhappy, anxious Christians. Many Christians are like Martha, worried and troubled about carnal things. And if you can turn to Luke chapter 10, let's look at verses 38 through 42. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who, moreover, was listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. For Martha has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now, such Christians are as a thorny ground in the parable of the sower. And just a few pages back over Luke chapter 8, verse 14. "And the seed that fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity." It received the seed, but it was choked out after it grew only for a short while. And we know Christians like this, whose roots have not been planted very deep. Thorns has grown up. Pleasures of the world. Man, I hate to give that up. I hate to do this. I hate to give that up. And it's about like to me as those Israelites who came out of Egypt and were going into the promised land. And they grumbled at Moses, says, Moses, why did you bring us out here for us to die? No water, no food. We should go back to Egypt. We can go back to all the lakes, onions, all the vegetables. I guess they forgot that they had been enslaved for 450 years. I guess they had forgot about that. I guess a person who become a Christian, whose roots is like that, is planted in the thorns, and in the seed, their seed is, their roots are so shallow that they forgot where they had come from. They're so unhappy about becoming a Christian, because look what I have to give up. Those received the word, obeyed, but then died spiritually because the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life choked the word from them. The true Christian can enjoy a supreme happiness regardless of his plight in this world. Doesn't make no difference what's going on in your life. It really doesn't. You know, we can have physical ailments that bothers us day in and day out. But does that should take our supreme happiness, regardless of the plight of this world, from us as being a Christian? I'm sure it's hard. I'm sure it's hard on those who have physical ailments. I'm sure it's hard on those who has to go to school, be with your peers. You're a Christian, and they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and they're trying to get you to come over and do it. I'm sure it's like those who are on a job, who you hear people over here telling dirty jokes, saying things that they shouldn't be saying, trying to get you to lure in over to them. Is that worth giving it up to be as being happy as a Christian? To give that up, to go to do that? Because that's where you came from, isn't it? Isn't that where we all come from? We came out of the world. We're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We need to be happy as a Christian. We need to be happy for what the Lord has done for each and every one of us. And this lesson will discuss some of the factors that contribute to a Christian's happiness, some of those things upon which his happiness rests. So the first thing we want to talk about, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. You know, we got something. We who are Christians, we have something that the world doesn't have. We got this. Isn't that something to be happy about? We have hope. Hope is the first reason for a Christian to be happy. He knows this life is not all there is to this, to his existence. And it's not, is it? We got something that we got. We can look much further, much better than what we've got here upon this earth. We got that hope. We look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hope, like I say, hope is the first reason for a Christian to be happy. And he knows this life is not all there is to his existence. And we can look at the example of like Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called, verse 8, obeyed by going out to a place where he, which he had to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And look at others of the of great faith in this chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they are thinking of that country from which they went out, they will have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God has not ashamed, is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What has God prepared for us? A city. This is not our home. We sing that song. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. We're just like Abraham. We're strangers. We're aliens. Yeah, well, you know, you can go when service is over this morning, yeah, you can get in your car and you can go to your home. You go to the house. But if you're a Christian, that's really not your home. God has prepared us a place. Jesus says, I go prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also. Hope. That's what it's all about. Hope. The most glorious part of a Christian is his faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. There's not a one of us in this room has seen heaven, have we? I haven't seen it. I can read about it. You know what? I have hope. I have faith that one day I'm going to be there if I live faithful unto death. If I do as this word tells me to do, I'm going to be there. I'm going to that place that God has prepared for his people. And I hope to be one of them. Hope. Did you hear what I said? I hope to be one of them. Even though he has not seen it, he hopes for a better life, and the evidence of that hope is his faith. A man without hope is pathetic, and a hope that will not transcend this life is despicable. The Christian believes in Jesus and his power and hopes for an eternal home with him. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Isn't that enough? If I just quit the lesson here this morning, say this is the end of the lesson, this is it. Will we get up and be happy that we're a Christian? I'll tell you, I would be. I am happy that I'm a Christian. Because when I wasn't, I had no hope. I have none. But if you're a Christian and you're doing God's will, you have a hope. You do. You have it. I just read the scriptures to you. What else there is else about being happy as a Christian? Contentment, the secret to a thankful life. Contentment. The Christian may not be satisfied with every aspect of his life. May not be. May not be happy with every aspect of my life. A farmer, he may try to produce a greater yield. As a business, he may try to increase his business. Contentment does not mean that one is necessarily resigned to the status quo. In Christ, he has learned how to be content regardless of whatever state he is in, prosperity or want. you know what passage we're going to go to here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Not that I want to speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with the humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Are we like Paul? Are we like him? Look where he's been. Look what he had gone through. Look where he was at. And guess what he says? I'm content. I'm content in any state that I am in. I am content. Can we say that? His contentment guards against apostasy in times of abundance due to the root of all evil. And we know, and you probably know where we're going there from here. We're going over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. The abundance due to the root of all evil, the love of money. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pain. I know we live in society. We had to have money. I mean, it's, if you think about it, that's what it's kind of based upon. But did you see what this says here? It says, the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Faith, and some have longed for it. And have why? And what happened to them? They wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pain. Hardships, when one would naturally tend to worry about carnal things in life, godliness with contentment is great gain. Same chapter, but over in verse 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by what? Contentment. Where one's treasure is, there where his heart will be. You know where we're going there to? I'm sure. You know, Matthew chapter 6. We had just studied this not long ago. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Says, do not lay up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Christian can be content because he knows his Lord will never forsake him. You know, we can't say that about our fellow man, can we? And I have said this to my son-in-laws. I've said this to other people. Don't put your trust in man. Don't do it. Because I'm going to tell you, when you do, it's going to fail you every time. You read about it right here. Don't do it. I'm telling you. Because he'll let you down every time. You know, I've had, when I was a young guy, preachers who were I put a lot of trust in. Guess what? They let me down. Let me down. Think you got friends who are really will back you up, stand with you, but I'll tell you what they'll do if you don't watch out. They'll throw you under the bus. That's what'll happen. I've seen it, been there and done that. But the Christian can be content because he knows his Lord will never forsake him or leave him. There's one person that will not leave us, that will not forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your way of life be free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So contentment is another way of we need to have as a Christian to be a happy Christian. What about peace? I think peace plays an important part for us to be a Christian. Should play a big important part. For doing as we should be, living as we should be living. When we go to bed at night, we lay our head down on that pillow. Should be calm, shouldn't it? Unless you got restless leg syndrome. It don't work. It doesn't work. I mean, you got peace, but you're laying there kicking, doing everything there is. But there is a pill that you can take that will help you get that rest. But peace. This is the peace that God, the peace of which God passes all understanding. Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this can only be experienced or observed in the life of the faithful child of God. The faithless are troubled and restless because they cannot depend upon God. Through prayer, the Christian can pour out before God his praise and thanksgiving, give his troubles to him, and through supplication, make his needs known to him. Once again, Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Does your prayer include supplications, thanksgivings? Do they? Instead of being all about me, myself, and I, when we go to God in prayer, we're praying for other people. Yeah, we need to pray for ourselves. Don't get me wrong. But we need to pray to God for other people. Pray for them. Pray for their understanding. Pray for their peace of mind they need to have. He is assured that his cares are in more capable hands than his own. His tensions are eased. Many pour out the major calamities in their lives to God, but never realize the perfect peace of God, which comes when he is permitted to take all of one's troubles, even the minor ones, which can rob one of happiness. One may find solution to his problem in God's word. His increased dependence upon God will cause him to look into God's word, where he can read of Jesus, the source of strength. Look at verse 13 of chapter 4 of Philippians. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And then while looking to Jesus, his mind is strengthened. Once again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. So peace is another thing that can bring happiness, to make you happy as a Christian. Then if you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we want to look at verse 1 for right now. Dedication. Are we, as a Christian, are we dedicated? Now, look at what we've gone over so far. We have a hope. We have a hope of heaven. We have that. We should be content. We should be content with what we have. As Paul, as an example to us, a peace that should just make us calm, knowing that, hey, I'm in God's hands. He'll take care of it. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we have that kind of hope that God will do that? And now, as a Christian, are we dedicated? Our dedication. One who is dedicated to his job is happy with it. I don't know many in here that are really, are you happy with your job? I don't know. I had jobs that I wasn't happy with. I hate to say this, but for 30 years when I worked for Kroger's, I really wasn't happy. But can we say, are you happy with your job? You know, you can say, if you're not happy with your job, go find you another one. As we was talking in the back here before services started, Diane was reading to me. I don't know if this figure is right or not, but there's 14 million jobs out there that's available right now. 14 million. 8 million people are unemployed. Hey, weigh yourself here. 14 million jobs, 8 million people. And people drop down Main Street there in Atmore and look. Hiring. Everybody, they need people. What, these 8 million people, how come they're not working? You know why? Because they're dedicated to stay home. That's where their dedication is. Their dedication is for you to give me to stay home. Other than getting up and going getting a job. So are you happy with your job? Hey, if you know it, you can thank you another one. Because there's 14 million out there, right? The vocation of the Christian is to be living the life of a Christian. Are we dedicated of doing that? Do we have the dedication or the vocation of the Christian is to be living the life of a Christian? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner, in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. That verse has everything that you can read about dedication. Right there, that verse does. Dedication to God and to living every day of one's life in his service brings about supreme happiness, even in this life. So maybe that's the reason why you're not happy to be a Christian. Because you're not, you haven't totally committed. Remember, we read about commitment. And then now we're reading about dedication. It goes hand in hand. Commitment, dedication. Make one to be happy that you're a Christian. It will. Well, let's sum this lesson up here this morning. If you are not happy, perhaps you are not dedicated to the Lord. I mean, you know, you got minuses and pluses, right? Got your balances. You need to see where your balance is. And you need to see if you're not happy, then maybe you're not dedicated to the Lord. Many who think themselves to be Christians do not have commitment or peace, possibly should be resolved to seek the kingdom of God first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So where's your priorities? Is God your priority? Or, as we read, is money your priority? I mean, have you got your priorities out of sync? Maybe we just need to take a step back and look at our priorities, look at ourselves and see where do we have ourselves. In the order to be, of being happy to be a Christian. Your first priority should be God, right? I think we all agree with that. Number one priority in a Christian's life is to have God first in his life. And then we can start adding our other priorities underneath that. So, as we've seen, to seek the kingdom of God first and to correct whatever is wrong in their lives. You know, this can be done by complete subjection to Christ and his word. All of us in here are Christians. That's what we got to do. We got to be completely subjection. We've got to be completely committed, completely dedicated to this. And if we are, guess what? We're going to be happy. We're going to be a happy Christian. And that's what, that's really what this lesson's all about. And then if we are, true happiness will follow. So being happy as a Christian, are you happy? Maybe you don't have your priorities in the right order. Maybe you've, you know, gone back into the world and you need to put God first in your life again. We're here to help you to do that. If you've been a Christian, you've gone back into the world, We're here to help you to get yourself back on the pathway of righteousness. And if you're not a Christian, then, you know, you say you're a happy person, but you're not really happy. Because if the Lord comes, you're definitely not going to be happy. It's going to be too late for you to make things right with God. So if you're not a Christian, all you have to do is hear the word, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins and live faithful unto death, as Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says. All of us in this room who are Christians has to follow what Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says. We have to be faithful unto death in order to receive the crown of life. And that's what we're all here striving for. All of us who are Christians are striving to receive that crown of life. So if you're here and subject to the invitation, we pray and plead you come forward together as we stand and as we sing.